What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It is me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, and kind of a different setup today. We are not in our normal podcast studio. We are in a conference room, and sitting right behind me is a giant mural of Sam Darnold that I'm trying to figure out how to sneak out of here. It's going to be really awkward because I walk to work, and so when I'm like trudging down the street with a mural that is taller than me, might be a little bit weird. But we are still joined by our normal cast of characters. I would say across the glass, but just across the table. It's producer Christina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I guess good news and bad news. I mean, this is you're transitioning out. This is our last show together, huh?
This is.
It's been a fun ride. It's been a short ride.
Very short, but fun.
But fun. So hopefully, I know this is not necessarily the end of you, but hopefully we'll see you around. But we will miss you here on the Fantasy Live Podcast. It's been great, though.
So, I will miss it as well.
All right. Well, and then Eddie Murphy is here. Eddie Spaghetti. He's not on headset, but he's here. So just trust me that he's here. He's fiddling with knobs and dials, and he's trying to make this thing sound good. So there's that. And then coming back, she was with us a couple of weeks ago, and now she is back here. It is Cynthia Freeland. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad I could be here on the same day as Sam.
Happy early birthday. Can I say that? Is that possible?
Yeah. Not a big birthday celebrator. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, it'll happen anyway.
Hey, you know what? You have made another trip around the sun, and that is something to be celebrated, because not everybody gets to say that every year. So there we go. We have plenty to talk about.
This Stark.
I know. I guess it was, huh?
Turn.
It was not intended to be, but it came out wrong. So
let's pour a little out for all our right, fallen homies.
Everybody who didn't make it around the sun this year is a shout out to all you guys.
This is for you.
This is our NFL fantasy draft extravaganza. We will talk mostly kind of draft strategies and guys you're targeting, guys you are fading. Just because this is the third week of the preseason. This is the week that is considered the dress rehearsal where teams play their starters most of the game until they kind of firm up the top of their depth charts. And this is the week that a lot of leagues decide to have their draft. So we will try to give you as much draft information as we can packed into the next 45 minutes or so. We will also talk to one of the good, truly smart, hardworking guys in the fantasy industry. That is Bob Harris. You can find his work over at Football Diehards. Also, you can hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Just one of the good people in this industry. So I'm excited to have him on. We'll talk a little bit about some of his draft strategies, especially in some of the non-conventional leagues. We'll talk about auctions a little bit. We'll talk about best ball. We'll get his thoughts on some of the big highlights and the headlines from the recent weeks. But speaking of headlines, let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
All right, we will start, not a lot of news because I'm going to get to the draft stuff here, but we'll start in Kansas City where the Chiefs cut veteran running back Charkandrick West. Last year, not a whole lot of work for West, just 18 carries, 72 yards. He's missed most of training camp this year with a concussion. So, Cynthia, I suspect this means good things for Spencer Ware in this backfield.
I mean, if you're going to be targeting this backfield at all and you're looking for depth here in your later rounds, it absolutely means that Ware's back on the board super late, in my opinion, though.
Yeah, I think
super, super late.
Yeah, I think he's definitely an end-of-draft sort of guy that you're taking a shot at. But remember, this is a guy who had nearly 1,000 yards rushing just a couple of years ago before he got hurt. So I'm curious to see exactly how the Chiefs use him. That's the thing I'm going to watch this weekend, to see how the Chiefs kind of sprinkle him in. Up to New England, the Patriots cut Kenny Britt. I don't know if that's a huge surprise. They're reportedly not interested in Dez Bryant.
Also not a surprise.
Not really a surprise there either. But you look at their wide receiver situation, right? They released Jordan Matthews. They released Malcolm Mitchell. Both guys were having injury issues all summer long. Meanwhile, the other wide receivers there, Julian Edelman, who we know is suspended to start the season. There's Chris Hogan. There's Eric Decker. There's Philip Dorsett. And there's Cordarrelle Patterson. I know we believe in the greatness of Tom Brady, and he's done it for so long, and he's 41 years old. Regardless of how much he says he wants to play, at some point, you know, father time comes for all of us. And I know he's always done it with wide receivers that don't seem all that great. But, I mean, at some point, right, the wheels have to fall off this wagon, right?
I mean, I think that the Wynn news, the losing their draft pick in Isaiah Wynn on the O-line, that's a little bit more troublesome to me than not being interested in Dez or cutting Kenny Britt, who probably wasn't slated to see many of the targets anyway.
True.
You know, I think those are the things that are more concerning because, you know, it is true, Tom Brady, when he's pressured kind of from the guard position or in the middle of that line, guards and centers, that's when he has turnovers. That's when he, and it's rare, but right. that's when we see him have that erosion in his completion percentage in all of the metrics that we look to for him. So for me, that the Isaiah Wynn news is actually more troubling than more interesting than any of the other ones.
Right. You talk about getting pressure on him from that guard center spot. That was one of the things I think the Eagles really made a focus on in the Super Bowl, just trying to get pressure up the middle and in his face and forcing him to make plays. So,
and by the way, first four games of the season, it's what? Texans, Jags, those sound like easy games. Lions, okay, and then Dolphins. You know, like, but those two first games, you know, the Patriots every year in September, we don't see anything from them. We have no idea who they are until at least mid-October, right? Nothing. The preseason for the Patriots is September. So, you know, these two, those first two games, geez, Texans and Jaguars, like, ugh,
yeah,
it's gonna be a rough one.
They're gonna see a lot of pressure. We will figure out a lot about that offensive line situation and how Tom Brady handles pressure early in the year. Last little bit of news: AJ McCarron is limited. He's kind of dodged the fracture in the collarbone that they all feared about a week or so ago. And LeSean McCoy battling a groin injury. McCoy's day to day. I don't know how much that really impacts his draft stat. I think at this point you kind of made your opinion on LeSean McCoy, but the McCarron thing, that means this is still a three-man race for this starting job.
I don't think it's a three-man race at all.
Who do you
think? I think it's Josh Allen.
Okay.
I mean, look, nobody's told me that.
Right.
I haven't talked to the team. I sometimes do talk to teams, and I will tell you when I do talk to teams so that it's more legit. But I think this is Josh Allen.
Interesting.
Like, it is.
All right.
Maybe Nathan Peterman for a game or two. But I don't think it's going to be – I don't think the AJ McCarron stuff – changes a lot.
Interesting. I don't know. I've looked at this quarterback situation and I just kind of throw my hands up in the air, mostly because I think regardless of who wins the job, I'm not interested in any of them fantasy wise.
And by the way, schedule matters here too. Ravens is their first game and Chargers is their second game.
Yeah.
Those sound like defenses I want to
go
up against.
If I'm a Bills fan, I'm not excited about that as a fantasy manager. I don't want any of those quarterbacks. I don't want any of their wide receivers.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sure
I think
don't.
That's pretty much it there. So that is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, let's get to it. It is the Fantasy Draft Extravaganza. I'm going to kind of go through sort of a draft and look at it from like the beginning, the middle, the end, and a couple of big points there and kind of figure out, you know, how people are attacking this sort of thing. Of course, as a lot of people going into their drafts this weekend and the next week or so, this is the time that we want to kind of get that information out there. So let's start kind of near the top here, Cynthia. Like, we've spent plenty of time talking about who the number one pick should be. I mean, we know there's those four guys in there. I would say even the first five picks seem sort of settled. In some form, in some order, it's going to be Todd Gurley, Lev Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, and then probably Antonio Brown after that. So the big question to me is, who's number six? I mean, there's guys like Kamara, there's DeAndre Hopkins, there's Saquon Barkley hanging out there. I mean, if you're sitting in the sixth spot, what are you doing right now?
It's not Saquon for me. Okay. I think that's overdrafting him at six.
Okay.
I guess, again, I'll have to caveat that with he's more valuable in PPR than he is in standard. Okay, we got it. Ultimately, for me, I think that Kamara is a compelling case at number six, especially because if you're like you and I and you're very active in your trades and you're, you know, updating your players, like those first four games for Kamara obviously are going to be the ones where he scores you the most points because he doesn't have to share a backfield, you know, really as much as he's going to have to when Ingram's back from his suspension. So Kamara there, but why is Odell Beckham Jr. getting any love on this?
Maybe I should have put him in there too. Yeah. I mean, OBJ is another one who's a legit possibility there, which I have no problem with Odell there. I'd have no problem with Nuke Hopkins there. I feel
what
like
about Julio Jones, no love for him either.
So I feel like, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, I feel like the Julio Jones slander has gone too far, right? Like, he has slipped to the second round, and everybody
good.
Looks at
I'll
it
take says, him in the second round, like, please.
I
okay.
would love to if I Absolutely. Can get if I can get a top notch running back or maybe two wide receivers at the turn somewhere and get one and get Julio Jones involved in that. I am thrilled to death. And everybody says last year, yeah, I know he didn't have a great year and he was inconsistent, he was up and down, but really before that. This seems like the first year that we really had this issue with Julio, and I think everybody has been scared off by it. And I just, you know, like I said, I think it's gone too far. Let's bring Julio back.
So here's the ones who I get confused on in this spot, right? Mm-hmm. The Dalvin Cooks, that's a confusing one for me. The Leonard Fournettes and the Melvin Gordons, because right here you could make a really strong case for any of those three. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of in that like 5 to 10 range, mm-hmm. right? Or you could say, what are you talking about? See, sometimes for me with Melvin Gordon, I'm like, stay away. The volatility is crazy on that one.
Melvin Gordon's a guy who worries me simply because he's just not efficient, right? He's a guy who scores because of volume because he gets the ball a lot.
And I
if
get it.
If it becomes a situation where, you know, if they like Austin Ekeler and he works in yeah. more, or if they throw the ball more this year, if that volume's right. not there, then Melvin Gordon becomes scary for me.
Exactly, but the volume is something where you're like, well, at least in the beginning of the season, it seems like that's who he's going to be. And the Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, like, returning from injury, kind of like second-year guys, like, Dalvin Cook, I think, is going to be a really important part mm-hmm. of Kirk Cousins' success. Have you seen their O-line? Because, you know, I don't know if Kirk Cousins has time to see the O-line because they're letting the defense come through and just crush him. So mm-hmm. I think people are undervaluing. I'm not saying Dalvin Cook should be in the top five, mm-hmm. but I think people are undervaluing the Dalvin Cooks and the Leonard Fournettes. I haven't heard as much about them as I thought.
I have been big on Leonard Fournette. I had my hot take a few weeks ago that Leonard Fournette would be the RB1 in mm-hmm. fantasy at the end of the year. That
I
was my big hot take. And
it's because you like his beard.
I do like his beard. It's
you know, fantastic. I see you trying to grow
As one. Someone who has a struggle beard, I can respect Leonard Fournette's beard. With Dalvin Cook, I truly believe that if he had not gotten injured right in week 4, that we'd be talking about him as a first-round pick this year. I think he was on pace to be that good last season. I mean, I think he would have been up there with the Saquons and the Kareem Hunts and stuff like that. And so I think next year, he will for sure, as long as he stays healthy and produces the way I think he can, he will be a first-round pick because I think he's going to be that big in the Vikings offense.
Remember when Jerick McKinnon played for the Vikings? Oh, wait, we've all forgotten that already. And that outside rushing zone scheme that they pulled off and mm-hmm. all of those passes that he caught. Like, there's another fold to Dalvin Cook's game that we haven't even fully seen yet that they're going to totally exploit because Kirk Cousins is not a great – he's not a top-paid quarterback. He's not a top-five quarterback, in right. my opinion, right? Yes, paid – he gets paid the most, but like, but in terms of like, that's not where I project him to be. They're going to need, like, you got Adam Thielen. I get it. You've mm-hmm. got Stephon Diggs, who I know you love. They've got Kyle Rudolph, but you're going to need the stability from that run game in order to make all the other pieces work.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the good news for Dalvin Cook is that Latavius Murray has not looked great in the preseason. I mean, not that I was worried that Latavius Murray
I know,
was just going
to say,
like,
listen,
not that I was worried he was going to just elbow Dalvin Cook out of the way, but you know, just in case you had some thought that maybe this would turn into a timeshare, I think you can kind
and
of.
And Kareem Hunt
that.
Gets no. Like, it's like we love rookies. We're overvaluing Saquon Barkley. It's like, oh, yeah, there's these guys on their sophomore campaign. Who are they?
Yeah, like, I know. I think everybody's worried about that sophomore slump, right? So, like, what ends up happening is guys like Kamara, guys like that.
Kamara's like, first. 4 weeks are going to be ridiculous. Like, come on. I mean, how can you not think that?
Unless you believe in the greatness of, you know, Boston Scott.
Yep. Exactly. Sorry, I forgot about him.
Oh,
totally.
Man. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be, I think that number 6, that 6 through 10 or 6 through 12 in your league is going to be a really interesting kind of mishmash of who gets drafted, just because I think the first 5 picks are pretty well settled. Everything after that is kind of a toss-up. Yeah. Moving on to the kind of the middle rounds. I'm saying rounds 4 mm-hmm. through 9 in this draft. That to me, is where you can really make hay. I mean,
that
I feel
is
like,
where you make your. That's where you right. win or lose or whatever.
We talk so much about the first 2 or 3 rounds. It's those middle rounds where things are a little bit unsettled. Where you know you may get snaked from a pick. You may just kind of, you know, end up tilting when something happens.
By the way, I pick in front of you.
You do.
I think it's me and then you.
It is.
Well, our, I guess like when we snake around, then it's you then me.
Yeah. This is for our NFL Fantasy Live Draft, which, by the way, shameless self-promotion. You can see on NFL Network on September 3rd.
It's Labor Day.
On Labor
Day. We're laboring.
So we will be laboring while you guys can sit back and have some barbecue, cook out a little bit.
Be sure to at Marcus every single thought you have about his picks.
Please
every
do.
Every thought possible.
Please
he,
do.
He really loves when his mentions blow up like
I
that.
I just, you know,
it's his favorite.
I have nothing better to do on Labor Day than go through my mentions and have people just like flaming me for. I will say this as an aside. What I love is when you put your draft out there, like a mock draft or a real draft, and you ask for like suggestions, you ask for like feedback on it, and you'll get one person who's like, this draft is awful, you're never going to win anything. And then the next person's like, this looks great, you're a playoff team for sure. Like, it's proof that none of us know anything.
No.
About this, so. But looking at the mid rounds there, I was calling it kind of rounds 4 through 9 here. And, okay. And there are some guys that we've seen kind of move up and down, guys that you have your eye on. I mean, is there anybody or maybe a couple of names in there that you really had your eye on somewhere in this range?
Well, I'm trying to me, tight ends are always like, I think I like know more about tight ends than other people. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not. But it really just depends on where the auto draft sets the tight ends and like when there's a run. To be honest with you, it's kind of true. So ultimately for me, I'm not reaching for a Gronk. I know probably those first 4 weeks, Gronk will be heavily targeted given the all of the slew of things going on in New England. But I'm not going to reach for a Gronk. I'm not going to – I mean, I don't think I'll get Ertz. He seems to be – he'll probably be too rich for my blood too. I think I saw that Fab's like all over Trey
Burton.
Yep, Trey Burton. Okay, yeah, I'm into it. But for me, like a George Kittle, if I can get him as late as possible, mm-hmm. I'm feeling that. Like I think that – you know, we haven't seen a lot from the 49ers in terms of deep passing outside the numbers. We really haven't. Mm-hmm. So I think that the utilization of a tight end as an extra pass catcher is going to be a big deal, especially early in the season. And I know Jerick McKinnon, that could be a good one for those. I don't know if he'll fall that low. I think like a lot of fantasy analysts have maybe propped up his ADP too high. But I think originally he would have been a good target for kind of like round 6 or 5. Like
right.
You would have gotten a steal then. But I think he's been bid up a little bit too high.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like we have bid up a lot of the Niners very high over the last few weeks.
I think Amari Cooper might fall.
I think he's definitely going to fall.
That could be a pretty tasty snack to pick up late.
Okay, so how far does he have to fall? Because I have been fading pretty much all Raiders, right? Like, I'm just so scared of that offense. How far would Amari Cooper have to fall for him to become a value for you? Ooh.
Drops are not something I like. Like, I can't. And I know that he hasn't dropped this year, blah, 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 but it's been a while. But, like, come on. No drops. Like, that's scary. But I think maybe late 4, like, on that turn because, you know, whatever, the end.
So I see him. Right, I mean, I'm looking at Fantasy Football Calculator, and their 12-team PPR ranking still has him late 3rd round. And I just
– yeah,
right, exactly. That's the perfect like, – I can't quite do it there. So, I mean, especially when, you know, right now he's still coming off the board ahead of guys like Jarvis Landry, Juju Smith-Schuster, Josh Gordon even. Like,
oh, come on.
I can't
Josh
take Amari
Gordon,
Cooper before any of those
guys. Agreed. I'm with you. But I think if he fell far enough in your draft, I think some people are going to let him fall. And if he's still there and, like, late 5-6, like that could be a nice value for you right there.
And then on the flip side, guys that maybe we are sort of fading in some of these middle rounds, guys that, you know, maybe their draft price has gotten a little bit too spicy. You know, maybe there's just something about them that we are kind of nervous about. And I'm looking at, for one, Kenyon Drake, who I was so on to begin with. I just wasn't sure what to make of him.
You just love Frank Gore. That's all that matters.
There's also that. Yes, because Frank Gore is going to outlive all of us, right? Like, we will all be long dead and buried, and Frank Gore will still be an RB3. Like, that's just how life's going to work. Mm-hmm. Now we're hearing reports that there may be a split. This may be more of a committee than we thought. And so now that 4th round draft prize for Kenyon Drake looks way too steep for me.
I think, like, both things have happened, right? I think Gore has fallen too far and Drake has gone too high. I think it'll be interesting to see the split because I think that Drake will get the short passes. I don't think they're going to give those to Gore, that just based on what we've seen so far. And I guess that game to watch is they play the Ravens on Saturday. So that's a good one to see because that's a defense that is a scarier defense, right? So ultimately, for me, I'm staying away. Like, the Dolphins can't earn a first down. Like, that's a really big problem.
That is a problem.
I mean, it's a problem in real life, but it's also a really big problem in fantasy. Like, their 3rd down conversion percentage or the number of first downs they earn, that like also factors in 2nd down and 1st down earned on 1st down, that is a really big deal. If you're not on the field, you can't score me fantasy points. Stay off my team.
You know, I think
get off my lawn.
I think it's even more interesting when you talk about, you know, now they're, you know, we've seen all sorts of weird scoring systems in leagues. I've seen a lot more leagues with points per first down, and I think that's kind of an interesting wrinkle.
I like that one too.
Like, because I am a vowed you know, opposition member of the, you know, PPR group. Like, I think PPR is overrated. I think it's stupid. So, like, I feel like points per first down is kind of an interesting mix. So
I like points per first down, and I also like if you have, like, I don't think, like, last year the Jarvis Landry stuff used to drive me crazy because he would have a million catches for 3 inches.
He is one of the reasons why I think PPR is dumb. Like, I don't understand how just in a league that is now slanted toward passing the football, right, that the rules are slanted toward quarterbacks and wide receivers. Look, I know it is difficult to catch a pass, and I'm not saying I can walk out here and become a top-notch wide receiver, but for these
sure
guys who
can.
Do it, catching the football, the simple act of catching the football on its own should not necessarily be equal to moving the ball 10 yards down the field. I just can't buy
Agreed.
It. I can't buy it.
Agreed.
So I'll give you a quarter point PPR. I can abide that, but a full point just seems
I like
so
the first
much.
Down, though. Like, I'm going to look into that for sure. By the way, the other one that I'm going to beat you with, and I saw freaking Harmon tweeting about these things. Emmanuel Sanders. He's fallen way too far.
Love him.
I'm with you. But luckily, I can maybe pick ahead of you. I don't know, whatever round.
Depends what round we're in.
Right? But, like, that's one I think people are like, oh, they're going to be terrible. Case Keenum's a huge upgrade.
Where
are we talking about him?
He's an upgrade, and he loves slot receivers. And I know, and I just have this feeling that we'll see a lot more of Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, which
100%.
I think will do something. Plus the fact, I keep saying this, at their peak, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas gave you near equal production.
Exactly.
And Sanders is coming off the board like 3 rounds later.
I'm like, okay, you
right.
guys keep doing that.
I know. I feel bad for saying this out loud because this may come back to bite us in the end. But, you know, if you've got the choice, if, you know, you're looking at Demaryius Thomas, why not wait a couple of rounds and go get yourselves an Emmanuel Sanders and feel much better about the value you're getting?
I'm with you.
Now to the end, the very end.
The end.
The last pick in your draft. You know, we know that, you know, you get to the end and you wait on defenses and kickers or whatever. But then there's always kind of that last round pick, right? That guy that you're taking a dart throw at off the board. And
I got one for you.
Okay.
That I love.
Okay,
if
go
you
for
steal it.
It,
I'm going to be so mad at you.
Well, now that you're telling me, I mean, I will. I make no promises.
I'm looking at Shelton Gibson.
Oh,
okay.
Eagles. Okay, with the Eagles?
I think he caught a 57 or 58-yard touchdown pass in a preseason game, which means he's obviously going to go ham this season.
Of course.
Because that's all that matters.
That's how it happens.
Right. No, I like this kid. I like watching him. I like watching him on film. I like watching all the different places they've lined him up at during training camp. Mm-hmm. And I think this could be one that on those weeks where you're like, geez, like, you know, like, we haven't seen anything from Alshon Jeffrey yet. We got to see how they're going to use it. They had 10 different people on the Eagles staff that caught touchdown passes last season, and 17 different people scored a touchdown. That's ridiculous. That diversity doesn't happen on every team. So this is a team where I genuinely think there could be room for a Shelton Gibson. I think he's actually, to me, based on what I've seen from target percentage, I think he's jumped past Kamar Aiken. He's jumped – like, there's a number of people who I think he's ahead of on the depth chart.
Which
so
is interesting.
That's one that I like.
Because looking down that Eagles receiver depth chart too, Mack Hollins was a name that, you know – I know last year there were times people kind of got interested in him, and in the preseason or in training camp, Mack Hollins' name kind of came up. So there are some other guys there, and especially if Alshon Jeffrey starts the year on the PUP list, that means there are targets to be had for some of these guys down the depth chart a little bit.
I just like a good like sleeper pick like that that's going to come up out of nowhere and be like, oh my goodness, like there we go, I beat you with Shelton Gibson. Like that just makes me happy,
right? You
like,
know, and
infinitely happy.
So I was, you know, poking around on the internet as I am wont to do, and our pal, friend of the show, Mike Tagliere, who we had on just a couple of weeks ago, wrote a piece about guys you might want to target with the last pick in your draft. And one of the names that jumped out at me, and especially after watching him last weekend, is TJ Yeldon. And now, if you've been, you know, following along with me, you know I have never really been a huge TJ Yeldon
fan. No, you
fan.
Haven't.
My argument has been that I like running backs who don't necessarily fall down of their own accord, because TJ Yeldon, it seems like he just needed, you know, maybe to do some yoga, get the balance right or something. But he catches the ball well. And we saw a lot of that last weekend, and the Jaguars, I don't think, have a solid number two behind Leonard Fournette. And for all the things Fournette does great, and I'm a big fan of him, he's not a big part of their passing game. So that means that TJ Yeldon, as a late-round dart throw, might actually have some value in PPR leagues. I have always been a detractor, but I'm starting to maybe change my tune a little bit and buy in on TJ Yeldon as kind of a deep sleeper this year.
I mean, I like the reasoning for it. I have a hard time on that Jaguar offense in general, but if you're saying deep, deep sleeper, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I don't think you're drafting TJ Yeldon and expecting him to be an every week starter. I think you're drafting him, you see how it works. Because, like, think about this. How many times that last pick in your draft, you hold on to that guy for a week or two, realize it's not working out, and then you just, like, cut him and you make a waiver pick. So
there's kind of like a healthy relationship, actually.
Like, you
just get rid of him.
Things aren't working out.
It's very healthy.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, after
go our separate ways.
So after a couple of weeks, you just text TJ and you're like, hey, bro, it's just not working out. I think I'm going to see other running backs. And and you go on about your life. So
exactly.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one to watch there. All right. So now a couple of individual kind of draft things. I feel like we can't have a draft extravaganza conversation without talking about quarterbacks, right?
What are those?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. They are a onesie position, right? And that's a coin that I believe our friend J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback, has coined, where you start one
guy.
By
the way, can I say something about J.J.? I really like J.J.
J.J.'s good
More
people.
Baby pictures. More baby pictures.
You know what? He just had a child. He's now.
No, I love it. I'm actually saying more. Somebody was tweeting him that he tweeted too much. I'm like, what?
Right.
That's crazy. More.
Seriously, I mean, J.J., I think, you know, he's already said that he's going to use his child and make her into a meme.
Exactly.
So expect
Listen,
that.
Dave Damashek does it best. He, like, made his baby pick games. Like, come on. The child needs to be involved. What is this? Football is family.
I am going
Hashtag football is family.
I am going into my eighth season here at the National Football League, and I will say one of the best pieces of content we have ever done is Football Baby.
It's great.
Football Baby was amazing. Now Football Baby is like football infant, football toddler.
No, more than that. Like, Football Baby could, like throw a ball further than Dave.
Football
Baby has a better arm than Dave Damashek. So.
Kindergartner or something like that.
So maybe JJ can uphold the tradition of the fine football baby.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Like a whole
end
line
scene.
Of football babies. Anyway,
sorry.
Talking about quarterbacks here, you know, I think it's pretty much consensus that Aaron Rodgers is the number one quarterback off the board. You know, this new kid up in Green Bay.
Okay,
like, we'll see if he sticks around. We'll find out. But after Aaron Rodgers is gone, who is your number two fantasy quarterback right now?
That's so – it's funny that you ask that question because I don't even look at – like, I barely look
right.
at quarterbacks.
And,
like,
and most people – a lot of people wait on quarterbacks.
Or
right?
I look at quarterbacks only insofar as is there an increase in RPOs this season? Is there – what are they doing different? I'm going to go – I mean, I think most people would say probably Tom Brady's number two, I would guess. But I'm saying, like, I'm actually looking at either – it's hard for me to toss it between Russell Wilson because he ain't got nobody else up there to help him out. Or maybe Cam Newton, but I actually kind of like Carson Wentz.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I might be in the minority here.
I mean, I know a lot of people like him. I haven't seen him go that high. That's a
I know.
Big, bold take.
It's a little
right?
bold.
That's a little bold.
It's a little bold. It's a little spicy, a little bold. And I also always believe Drew Brees never gets the respect that he deserves.
Yeah.
From the fantasy community.
This is a year where he has definitely fallen back a little bit. And the way I look at it is because – like last year, that team changed in the sense that, you know, they ran the ball more between
Kamara. Their defense was good.
And their defense was good. Yeah, Kamara and Ingram ran the ball. Their defense wasn't like Breeze needed to go out and put up 45 points a game for the Saints to be successful. And I think if they continue with that recipe, it's a situation where Drew Breeze will be a good real football player and maybe just an okay fantasy player. And I think that's the distinction.
I just always think people like put him outside of their top 12, right? If there's typically 12 people in your league, people are like, oh no, he's not on our top. He's my backup. I'm like, name me 11 better than him.
No,
you know,
I can't do that.
That's ridiculous.
He's still in my top 10. He's kind of in the back half of my top 10, but he's still in my top 10.
So it's like Cam or Russ. Cam, Russ, Carson, like those are.
Yeah,
it's not Tom. I'm sorry.
It's not Tom for me either. I've landed on Russell Wilson a lot. I can make a case for Cam, although I just worry that, you know, at some point they are going to. I don't think there's a way to purposely rein him in from running because he has been the Panthers' best goal line back for the last 3 or 4 years. But I just worry because he's taken a lot of punishment when he runs the football, and I wonder if he's going to maybe start to slow down just a little bit. but
I don't know. I saw him in person. And I was like, nope. He's bigger than DeMarcus Ware.
He's still huge
for sure.
He is still huge.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I want him to be awesome still.
I think a lot of us do. So we'll see what happens there. Now onto the rookies, right?
Yeah.
So obviously there was a lot of hype about this rookie running back class, right? And when everybody was drafted and we got to training camp, you know, there was so much excitement about, I mean, we knew about Saquon, right? And I've kind of separated him from the rest of the group, right? There's the Saquon division and then there's the non-Saquon division, right?
Okay.
So we were so excited about guys like Darius Geis and Ronald Jones and Royce Freeman and, you know, keep going. All these guys in this draft class. As we've gotten to the start of the season now, Geis unfortunately is hurt and out for the year. Ronald Jones so far in training camp has been a disappointment.
Chubb.
Nick Chubb has really been nowhere to be found in Cleveland. I mean,
bless him.
I mean, it's been the Jarvis Landry. I mean, Carlos Hyde has come back almost from the fantasy dead now to be a thing again. So, like, outside of Saquon now, which rookie running backs have really caught your eye in this thing?
I, as a person from Michigan,
mm-hmm.
this pains me because I'm actually, like, take a lot of pride in being a suffering Lions fan.
Okay.
So having hope is, like, really very difficult for me. Kerryon Johnson, though,
mm-hmm.
that could be one of your later, like, Theo Riddick gets hurt
right.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So Kerryon Johnson could actually be kind of that, like, I'm not calling him a bell cow. But he could be that volume guy
mm-hmm.
that pads your team in the middle somewhere, you know, in the middle of the season when Theo Riddick is, God forbid, but
right.
probably hurt or something's happened. Like LeGarrette Blount might steal the goal line carries and, you know, stop thinking Matt Patricia is going to do everything just like the Patriots on offense because
right.
that's just – they don't have the same offense,
right.
so it's not going to happen. But, I mean, between, I don't know, Amir Abdullah hurt often, Theo Riddick mm-hmm. hurt often. I think Kerryon Johnson might have a real chance here.
Yeah. And, you know,
God, that pains me.
I was not big on Kerryon Johnson coming out of the draft.
Neither was I.
I thought he was, you know, kind of good at a lot of things. I didn't think he was great at any one thing. And having stuck in that backfield with LeGarrette Blount, and you mentioned Abdullah and Theo Riddick, it just didn't seem like there was opportunity there, but you might be right. I think the path is slowly being cleared for Kerryon Johnson to kind of get some volume.
And I also hate to give the Lions any shine here either because they're terrible, but their O-line, I mean, Frank Ragnow, that was their first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guard. He's been better on the left side. Taylor Decker's back from injury. Like, O-lines are everything
right.
when it comes to both quarterbacks, meaning opportunity for your wide receivers in passing situations and your tight end, and also for your running back.
Right.
Like, if you have a crappy O-line, your running back has a really bad chance to do well.
Ask Joe Mixon. Look at that. I mean, for all the hype around Joe Mixon and all his talent, last year the Bengals couldn't open up holes for him, and
right.
he was a non-factor fantasy-wise. Okay, any rookie quarterbacks or tight ends that you were looking at? I mean, there are rookie quarterbacks who are making headlines. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be fantasy-relevant this year, and we
right.
know tight ends are sort of hit and miss in their first year, but anybody from those two groups that has caught your eye?
You always got to look at Dallas. It's hard to even say. Actually, I'm going to say something about Miami, and I've said stay away from Miami, and I remain stay away from Miami. But you could, for later in the season, not the beginning of the season, but later in the season, you might want to take a look at anything Miami does with tight ends. Gesicki, he was their pick, and I don't think he could become more of a factor. I don't know, but if you look at the past and like the Adam Gase offense and the strategy, if they're able to earn first downs, good chance they're using their tight end. I mean, he made Zach Miller a thing a couple
right.
of years ago, right? So that's one that I'm looking at. But I don't know. You always got to see what's going on in Dallas. We don't know who's going to catch any passes, but I think that could be one that could emerge later on. Again, nothing for now.
Yeah, I'm curious. Stay away now. I do like Gesicki. I mean, he's kind of the one guy that I said out of the draft, out of the NFL draft, that could make an impact as a rookie. I'm starting to kind of buy into Hayden Hurst a little bit
yep.
in Baltimore. Maybe it's because I just like the red hair coming out of the back of his helmet.
Who wouldn't like that?
Right? It's fantastic.
I actually think like the Crabtree element there is the one that's really
yes.
emerged for me. Like, I think the Ravens, I think Crabtree is undervalued. So I would stay away from Hayden Hurst more than I like Crabtree more than I like Hayden Hurst.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I also have believing in the hashtag Fleconnaissance. Like, I mean, it's coming back, right? It's coming back this year. Also, I'm very interested to watch the Eagles. We will see them on Thursday night against the Cleveland Browns. So depending on when you listen to this podcast, that game may have already been played. But
And if it has, it was wonderful.
It was fantastic.
It
was a great game, man.
That was a good game.
Did you see that one catch? That was fantastic.
That was so good.
That was great.
David Njoku is the tight end of choice. David Njoku is undervalued, but whatever.
But I would say I'm interested to see how the Eagles use Dallas Goedert. I mean, I know Zach Ertz is their main tight end, but we saw them use two tight ends a lot last year, which helped Trey Burton get himself a nice deal in Chicago. So I'm curious to see how they use Dallas Goedert and whether or not he's ready to take on that sort of Trey Burton role in the offense.
I have a question for you about Jordan Reed. I know he's not a rookie.
Right?
Do you think he's going to play?
Like ever?
How many games?
Eventually, yeah.
More or less than 6 games?
I'm going to go more, but less than 10.
Okay.
So
like 8 games.
8 or 9 games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So that's something really important to know when you're
drafting. It kind of is important to know. I mean,
it's like a big deal when you're drafting.
I don't think, I think
would you take David Njoku or would you take
Jordan Reed?
Yep. Thank you for reminding me of his name that I forgot within 30 seconds.
I would probably just go with David Njoku because
me too, 100%.
I don't want to have to deal with that
100
fear.
Times out of 100 I would take David
Njoku. I just don't want to have to deal with that fear there. So that's going to be, that's what I'm really curious about.
Yep.
So that's our thoughts about some of these draft strategies. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But first, a man who has a lot of draft strategies.
Bob Harris.
We will go to the phones. Joined now by one of my favorite people. I say this a lot, but this really is one of my favorite people in the fantasy Twitter space. It is Bob Harris. You can find him on Twitter at Football Diehard. You can find his work at Football Diehard. You can hear him on Sirius XM Radio. He and the folks over at Football Diehards every year. If you want a physical copy, if you need to be one of those people who has a physical copy of a magazine to take into your fantasy draft with you, they do a great job over there. Also, a little bit of shameless self-promotion. I helped contribute some things. I was part of their mock draft. I wrote some things for them. So in a little bit of shameless self-promotion, I'm going to get myself in there too. So make sure you pick that up too if that's what you like to do. Bob, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for the time. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Any better I have to mess something up just to keep the karma in balance, right?
Exactly. Want to start, you said recently on one of your shows, you were talking about Adrian Peterson. Obviously, he just signed in Washington, and you said Adrian Peterson is the guy you talk up and get someone else to own while you're drafting fit Rob Kelly later on. I think that tells me everything that I need to know about how you feel about Adrian Peterson. But so is this because you don't believe in AD, or is this because you believe in Rob Kelly?
Look, you don't get to be as old as I am by going around tugging carelessly on or needlessly on the cape of Superman. Right? It's not wise. At this point, though, not as super. Look, and here's the thing. I mean, we fantasy owners in general, is a group, and I am part of this group, so this is about me too. You know, we're like sharks. You put a drop of blood in the water, and we all, make haste to get there. But we are also a little less sharky, more fishy, in that you throw a lure in the water and we all run to that equally quickly, right? And so I think Peterson might be a case of more lure than blood for me. And so, look, I think it's not like I'm saying he can't do well. I'm saying if we look at maybe last year, his run in Arizona, where there were two games that gave you just enough hope to keep playing him, and then the other games were, 1 yard a carry, 1.9 yard a carry, 1.4 yard a carry, 1.9. I mean, I think he's more that guy than the 4-plus yard per carry guy, which may be enough for Washington. Hell, I don't know. But I've already seen the switch. I'm in a draft right now. It's a bizarre IDP league, so we're, in the 20th-something round. But right after, the signing, he was immediately drafted, and I got Rob Kelly about 5 rounds later, and I'll take that all day.
And I think the guy that we have stopped talking about for some reason is Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
And not that he's great, but he's not out for the year. He's going to come back, and I feel like even if he's not special, he's enough, I feel like, to wreck somebody else's season. I just feel like somehow we have just excluded him from this whole conversation.
We have, and Byron Marshall, I mean, look, anything can happen at running back, right? And I guess, the telling thing for me is the way he's paid. I mean, he's paid as what he is, a guy who has to show them he can contribute to make the roster, or he's not getting paid and they're not out any money. So, look, I would love to see him come back. again, as a fellow old fellow, it would be grand to see us succeed on a big level. But my expectations are fairly low. They were last year. I thought the two games for Arizona were surprisingly effective. And, you know, some of that was the blocking. Some of that was clearly he broke off some longer runs. I think he's more, you know, my friend Matt Waldman at Football Guys wrote a piece about this and basically said he's more of the, you know, he'll break you off a 30-yarder. He's not breaking off the 70, 80-yarders anymore. That's kind of it.
So you talk about signings, and looking down at Tennessee, Rashard Matthews just recently signed a deal with the Titans, kind of an extension down there. And, you know, people are trying to figure out what to make of it because it's not a whole lot of money. It's not a big deal. But Rashard Matthews has sort of been one of those, you know, those late-round picks that fantasy analysts have kind of glommed onto. I mean, is there anything – are we reading too much into this signing? Is there anything to make about this deal that Rashard Matthews and the Titans came to?
No, I think the thing that's appealing about Rashard Matthews is he has some demonstrated chemistry with Marcus Mariota, which not a lot of other receivers there have, at least in game condition. Hearing some great things about Taywan Taylor. We hear all hearing the great things about Corey Davis. And we know that Rashard Matthews has not been on the field yet. So if you're, you know, if you want a piece of that, but you don't want to pay for it, right now Matthews should be that guy. He should be sinking down a little bit. And I do think there'll be a role given the signing. But there are some other talent there. And I think the hope for us is that some of that talent emerges. Taylor in particular set all my dynasty rosters. And that Matthews is kind of remains what he's been. And that would be kind of my expectation. Although this offense is going to evolve.
You know, Bob, I feel like in the last couple of weeks, we've started to hear more out of Tennessee. I mean, you mentioned the Rashard Matthews signing. You mentioned Taywan Taylor. We know about their backfield situation. Corey Davis has been everybody's favorite sleeper wide receiver. And I know you actually had Terry McCormick, the beat writer for the Titans, on your show recently. Are we overlooking this offense? Is there maybe more in Tennessee than we're giving them credit for?
I don't know. I think we're kind of like we're all intrigued by it. Look, I harken back to the era of Frank Coyle, the old draft analyst who – used to have the Hindu theory that, you know, this guy is going to be the next this guy. And I think we do that just as analysts and fans with offenses as well. And so we watched the success in San Francisco last year with Kyle Shanahan. We watched the success of the Rams with Sean McVay. And then we see in Chicago, a new offensive-minded coach, we think great. And then we see in Tennessee, or look, the exotic pick Smash Mouth had gone way more Smash Mouth than exotic in recent times. And we see Matt LaFleur, who's worked with both, you know, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, and we have some hope, something to hang our collective fantasy hats on. They've been a run-first team during all of Mariota's first three seasons. And look at Mike Vrabel's history, too, playing for Bill Belichick in the past versus the offense and playing for Bill or coaching with Bill O'Brien, you know, it's a similar thing. And so you bring in LaFleur's time as an assistant with McVay and Shanahan, both very pass-heavy coaches, and at least you would expect a more balanced approach, a little less run-heavy, and the arrival of Deion Lewis suggests the same as well. So I do think it's something we need to pay attention to here because I think there is going to be some change coming. And maybe it's not that you can only draft the top two targets, right? Maybe you can draft three or four deep on this.
Talking to Bob Harris, senior editor at Football Diehards, also a host on Sirius XM Radio. Now, Bob, you and I had the good fortune to hang out in person last week in Canton, Ohio for the Kings Classic Draft. And you know, we talk a lot about the conventional kind of snake serpentine drafts here, but we also did an auction along with that. And I know that's, you know, it's gaining in popularity, but I know there are a lot of people who don't do them or maybe encountering them for the first time. So if you were talking to somebody going into their first auction draft, what advice, what sort of strategies would you have for them?
Well, two things. I would just remind them that, you know, this is a draft where you have a chance to get every single player. It's not like a snake where, I mean, just by the nature of the draft, you're going to lose out on a lot of prospects. You have a chance to get in on every one. The second piece of advice I would give is do as I say, not as I do. Because I'm as easily caught up. And drafts, it's so funny because I look back at this, the auction that we were in, and you see a lot of the things that happen. Look, I'm aggressive in bidding people up. Nobody gets a free pass when I'm drafting. There is no minimum bids if I can help it. Similarly, there's no, you know, cheap Aaron Rodgers. And so you know, I got a little in front of that one. I had no intention of bidding on him that high, but it seemed to be rolling. But that's the thing. Early in drafts, a lot of money flies off the board, a lot of emotion. If you can be a little – and I was trying to leverage that by bidding up. But if you can sit back a little bit, there was a fellow at this draft. His name was Marcus Grant. Had a hell of a
never
lot
heard
of money
him.
At the end.
Never heard of him.
Hell of a lot of money at the end. And, you know, Brad Evans from Yahoo, our buddy, kind of put it, you know, he wants to be the bully. I think you had the, you know, you had the bully bucks there. And that's kind of the goal, is to have that money at the end. There's going to be a ton of players. And as you see the guys, some of the bigger names going off, don't panic. You know, sit back, keep your reserves in place, and get in on the bidding heavily when everyone else has diminished their resources a bit.
The other format that is gaining in popularity that maybe not everybody has gotten hip to quite yet is the best ball leagues. And I know, you know, the MFLs, the MFL 10s have gained in popularity. It's wild to see, you know, the day after the right. Super Bowl, people are already drafting best ball leagues. But when you're looking at a best ball league versus, say, a conventional draft, what sort of things should people be looking out for? What kind of prospects should they be looking out for in those leagues?
Right, we're looking for the best ballier players, right, Doug? The guys that are – because it's a set-and-forget league. So you draft your league. There is no roster management. There is no lineup required. Your best lineup is selected from what the scores are. So you can grab those kind of spike players later on in drafts that are going to have the big game here and there. You know, some of the quintessential best ball guys, Mike Wallace, Ted Ginn, goal line backs have a tendency to show up for a game, you know, maybe get two or three touchdowns. And you don't have to predict when that happens. You just have to know that it does happen at some point. And so I think the fun thing for me about best balls, and yes, guilty, I was in there right after the Super Bowl. and my serious co-host, Mike Dempsey, though, is up to 150 now, so I have not gone to his level yet, but I'm getting there. But I kind of use it as a laboratory for my season-long draft. In terms of the first half of the draft, it's pretty similar to a regular draft. And it's kind of in the second half and with the late-round flyers that you try and, you know, toss a dart at guys that maybe have a little something. You know, and I mean, in these drafts, it's not unusual to see Jeremy Hill go late. It's not unusual to see wide receivers that, you know, maybe are going to show up once or twice a year. You know, John Ross might go just based on his speed alone in the hope that he can catch a long one. So I think those are the kind of the kind of changes you make. You get a little, you can go way deep on your dart tosses in the second half of the draft, and you never have to worry about lining them up at the right time. It happens for you automatically. I love that part.
Oh, Bob, as I let you go, one thing I like to always ask my guests, what I call the pick of pop, the thing in pop culture, whatever it is, a movie, a book, a TV show that you are digging right now that you feel like you got to share with the rest of the world.
So, look, I live in Albuquerque, so Breaking Bad fan. I love Better Call Saul right now. I think everyone should watch it, but I need to go off the board with this. There's a show I watched as a child that was one of my favorite things, stuck in my memory forever still. And it was a show called Kolchak, the Night Stalker. And one of the most amazing things that I've seen in the last couple of years was last offseason, you went through and you did each and every episode a thorough and very, just a spot-on review of every single show. Go to MarcusGrant.com, everybody. Go to the blog, scroll down a little bit. If you want to be thoroughly entertained and revisit something from the past, look, I screamed every week when I watched that as a 13-year-old. I screamed with laughter as I read it because you catch this thing just spot on. Great job of that. I'm going to read them all again now that I've relooked at them.
Oh, well, the check's in the mail, Bob. I appreciate that. That was you know, it was something I did as just in the offseason to keep myself interested, just something to pass the time. And oddly enough, it found an audience, which is sort of weird, but I appreciate that.
It was me. I was the audience. All those 40 burner accounts that I was encouraging you to do more from.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. So, yeah, now I will – so, everybody, I will tweet out the link for it, too. Anybody who's interested in reading it, go back. And it was a fun thing to do, and so I appreciate that, Bob. But as always, great stuff, Bob Harris. Look forward to seeing you on the internet, sir.
Can't wait. We'll talk soon.
Thanks to Bob Harris for his time. You can check him out on Twitter at @FootballDieHard. You can read his work at @FootballDieHard. You can also hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Always happy.
He's one of my favorite people.
Bob Harris,
whole industry,
is just great people, man. He absolutely is. So I was glad to spend some time with him in Canton about a week ago.
Oh,
and so
fun.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of fun. So I'm glad to have him on the podcast. Anyway, we've been talking draft strategies, and you know the thing about it is there's always these guys late in the draft or the guys you see in the preseason that get a lot of hype, right? They get a lot of excitement. But the question is it real? Is it imagined? Are they a hero? Are they a hype bunny? Give me that drum loop. All right, so here are some guys. I just want to get your thoughts just real quick, whether you think they're a hero or a hype bunny. We'll start in Carolina. Curtis Samuel.
Hype bunny.
Hype bunny. So you're not buying Curtis Samuel this year.
I would like to know, save for a few games here or there, tell me some consistency of wide receivers in Carolina over the past 3 years.
Not great. All right, okay. So moving on to Arizona, rookie wide receiver Christian Kirk, hero or hype bunny?
This one's like a hero wrapped in a hype bunny's clothing. Because I think they're going to need someone to catch passes in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who it's going to be. And if it's Josh Rosen, I think that rookie-to-rookie connection, it could be a valuable – they've been practicing together.
Right.
So, to me, that could make him a hero.
Okay.
But I think he's in hype bunny clothing.
I will say this. If you play in a league where you get yards and touchdowns for individual kick returners, Christian Kirk, I think, has a little more value. I know not everybody plays in those leagues. But if you do, that's a guy to keep an eye on. In Pittsburgh, James Washington has made some really dope catches in the preseason. Is he a hero or a hype bunny?
He's a preseason all-star. That's what I think.
All right.
Stay away. I'm a Debbie Downer over here.
I know you really are. Like, I started the show on a downer. Now you're ending it on I think we were made to be partners on this
exactly.
Podcast here. Okay, then stay in Pittsburgh with James Conner, the running back that ostensibly is the number two behind Le'Veon Bell. He's been great in the preseason. Is he a hero or a hype bunny?
Same thing as the other one.
Preseason all-star, huh? All right. A guy that I've started to kind of catch on to lately.
You just like his name.
I do. John Kelly in Los Angeles. We know it's going to be all about Todd Gurley, but if you are into handcuffing running backs and something, not that I'm wishing it, but if something were to happen to Todd Gurley, John Kelly seems like the guy. Yeah, how are you feeling about it?
How many bench spots do you have? Because if you're going to do that handcuff, it's a great handcuff to have. Mm-hmm. But if you only have like 5 bench spots,
right.
I probably would. Just keep an eye on him. You know,
right.
Waiver wire action.
Exactly.
Later on.
Exactly. It's probably got to keep an eye on. Another guy who's had a big preseason, especially last week, a couple of touchdown catches, Taywan Taylor in Tennessee. Hey, that's some alliteration for you.
I know. And I just love it.
Hero or hype bunny for Taywan Taylor?
Okay. So, I don't hate him.
Okay.
I remember watching like his draft stuff. It's interesting. Very interesting. He could be an impactful player here. And we don't know anything about the Titans.
Like,
we don't know anything. So, again, depth of your bench. This could be a bit of a hero, but not a week one type of
right.
look at. Like, not a – I don't know. That could be an end of your draft. That could be a great end of draft pick.
All right. A couple more here. We'll go with Jordan Wilkins in the Colts backfield. Marlon Mack's there. There's been a battle behind him between Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines. Looks like Jordan Wilkins is taking the lead. Hero, hype bunny, or just stay away from the Colts backfield.
Stay away from the Colts. Stay away from this next one, too.
The bird alert. Really, Albert Wilson? Like, he's been hyped up in Miami, and mostly because, you know, me and
because they spent some money on him.
They spent some money on him. Plus, I just like yelling bird alert whenever he does something. But I guess you're telling me he's a hype bunny right
now. Okay, you want to know my fun fact about Albert Wilson?
Okay.
So when I was tracking him, you can see he visibly gains weight, or he did when he was at the Chiefs, mm-hmm. right? Must be all that barbecue.
Right.
When he gained weight, they wouldn't put him on longer routes, and he would get almost no targets. When he was thin,
uh-huh.
he would run longer. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That
so
seems like motivation.
Let's just see, like, maybe South Florida, like, he's got to keep it, you know.
Right.
There's no winter.
Right.
There's no sweaters. There's no sweater weather. Look. So maybe he could be a, you know, a later round kind of guy.
Maurice Jones-Drew told me when he worked, he trained in South Florida because you always got to keep it tight, like, all year long.
Well, yeah, because there's bathing suit season.
All year.
365.
All year long. Up in New York, Wayne Gold. He's going to be the number two behind Saquon Barkley. We know that for sure. I was never a huge fan, but he's playing well. Hero or hype bunny?
So I think he's going to be that thing that means that, like, the reason you don't overdraft Saquon Barkley is because of a Wayne Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Not because, like, I don't think he's going to be something that's going to contribute heavily to your fantasy team.
Right.
I think it's just remember that he's there when you're thinking about taking Saquon Barkley first overall, which you shouldn't do.
Right, exactly. There you go. Last one, Chris Warren III. His father was an outstanding running back in his day, and now Chris Warren III making some noise in Raiders preseason. I mean, yes, there's beast mode and there's Doug Martin. So they got beast mode and muscle hamster. It's like a zoo back there in the Raiders' backfield.
Why should he be Chris Warren?
I don't know. We got to come up with a name for him.
We do.
Well, it might be hype bunny. It might be hype bunny, or will it be hero?
I think it's a hype bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, Muscle Hamster looked great in person, and so does obviously Beast Mode.
Right.
Doesn't get that name for no reason. So I just think that it's just too crowded.
No, I would agree. I think there's. I just don't think there's enough opportunity.
That was
to go
like
around.
All. I didn't say a single one that I.
There's
liked.
No hero. I know. No heroes.
I am the worst.
No heroes. He's just a bunch of you know of civilians.
Well, just a bunch of preseason all stars, man.
There we go. So the preseason pretty much is coming to an end for a lot of people. We again, this is the third week. We'll see the starters for a long time in most of these games. Of course, in week four of the preseason, we probably won't see any starters at all.
I want to know one question before we go.
What's that?
How do you feel about Baker Mayfield and the underwear / tiger?
Because
you of all people probably have a take I care about.
I immediately thought of the old LL Cool J walking with a panther album cover.
Yes.
I also want to know, like, how do the Browns feel about their number one overall pick walking around with, you know.
I bet they love it.
With, like, you know, prey with predators and stuff like that. That seems, you know, sort of risky, right?
I just want to see, like, how the other guys on the team have handled it. Like, it's got to be, like, the same size as the Sam Darnold poster. There's got to be, like,
oh, there's
got to
be one somewhere in the locker room, right?
Right. Like, somebody's got to be doing funny stuff about it. I'm guessing it's probably David Njoku just based on, you know, watching him on Hard Knocks and stuff. It's definitely not Tarod.
I'm hashtag let Baker live.
Yeah. Let Baker live.
Let Baker live,
let
man.
Let Baker live.
Let that dude be his own thing. So a fun podcast. Always fun having you here, Cynthia.
You know what? Wednesdays this season are gonna be the best day of both of our weeks.
Oh, will it?
That's the day we're on Fantasy Live together.
Oh.
Every week.
Sweet.
Wednesdays.
Then I'm down with that.
Mark it down in your calendar.
Put it on the board. Thanks to Bob Harris. Thanks, of course, to Cynthia Freeland. Thanks to both producer Christina. We will miss you.
Yes, where are you going?
I will miss you guys too. I'll still be around, just
all right.
Not with this podcast.
All
which
right.
pod are you doing
we'll
now? Which
to
haven't been assigned to any.
All right.
We'll come, so
we'll come and like hang out with us at
I will.
Some point. So
we'll
thanks to her.
Happen.
Thanks to Eddie Spaghetti as well as we get out of here. Always remember, time waits for no one. Use it as your draft room. We'll see you on Monday.